McGill Daily of the Daily.
I'm McGill Daily.
Hi, I'm calling from the McGill Daily. Can I ask you some questions?
This is a little bit problematic.
Could I see you for a second?
We're going to cap this.
News, can you dummy?
Did that story come in yet?
Editorial is in 5 minutes.
McGill Daily.
Unfit to print.
You're listening to Unfit to Print, a McGill Daily and CKUT News collaboration. This is Anya Sivajothi. Unfit to Print is a student-produced bi-weekly show that brings the latest of McGill and Montreal news. On today's program, we'll be first hearing from Adeola Adesanya, who spoke as part of the panel for the Engineering Undergraduate Society Equity Committee's second annual forum on diversity and inclusivity in engineering. We'll then hear from Laura Herbert, who is the chapter lead of the McGill Students Chapter of JAC.org, who held their Bridge the Gap speaker series event on anxiety disorders on Monday the 19th. But first, headlines. The Student Society of McGill University Legislative Council adopted a climate change policy at its meeting on October 15th. The decision came after a two-hour debate in which both councillors and non-members spoke on the motion. In addition, council discussed a motion to release a statement in response to a call to action from the McGill Students for Vandalism's collective. Council also approved two referendum questions, one asking for an increase in the CKUT fee levy and the other with regard to the creation of a safety network fee. The proposal for a climate change policy first emerged in 2014/15 academic year. A motion passed during the fall 2014 General Assembly mandated former VP External Amina Mustaqim Barrett to draft a policy on the matter. On April 9th, an early draft of the climate change policy was brought to Council. At that meeting, current VP Finance and Operations Zachariah Houston, a science representative at the time, brought up concerns that students from the faculties of science and engineering had not been consulted adequately. As a result, the policy was referred to a special committee and brought back to council in fall 2015. Around 500 people met at Place Norman Bethune on October 10th to participate in a march against deportations, organized by Solidarity Across Borders, the Non-Status Action Committee, and the Let's Unite campaign. The march was organized to start right after an earlier protest that same day against the Energy East and Enbridge pipelines, organized by ECO. Some demonstrators from this previous march joined the protest against deportations to show inter-movement solidarity. Starting this month, the assigned club spaces on the fourth floor of the Shatner Building will be converted to general bookable spaces, as reported by the McGill Tribune. This decision was made over the summer by the Student Society of McGill University VP Clubs and Services, Kimber Bialik, in consultation with the SMU Clubs Representative and Service Representative, giving clubs the existing offices until Thanksgiving weekend to move out of their offices. Only SMU clubs have been affected by this decision. SMU services such as Queer McGill, the Union for Gender Empowerment, and Election SMU will keep their offices. One of the clubs affected by this decision is the McGill Outdoor Club, which is the largest student club under SMU, runs the largest non-faculty frosh, and previously had a gear room and office on the fourth floor. For more in-depth coverage of the news stories, please visit mcgilldaily.com/news. On today's program, we'll be first hearing from Adeola Adesanya, who spoke as part of the panel for the Engineering Undergraduate Society Equity Committee's second annual forum on diversity and inclusivity in engineering. We'll then hear from Laura Herbert, who is the chapter lead of the McGill Students Chapter of JAC.org, who held their Bridge the Gap. Now you'll be hearing from Adeola Adesanya, an undergraduate student and president of the National Society of Black Engineers at McGill. She is completing her degree in chemical engineering here at McGill and spoke as part of the panel for the Engineering Undergraduate Society's Equity Committee's second annual forum on diversity and inclusivity in engineering. This event aimed to build on the momentum created following a conversation on equity in engineering started last year. The panelists discussed how to make the marginalized groups feel more included in McGill's engineering faculty, where most of the visible demographic is still white men. So how did you get involved with EUS Equity, and have you been involved before participating in this panel?
I would say that I got involved with EUS Equity indirectly, because last year I was part of the E-Week committee in the EUS, and we had to do, like, this was the first year of, like, real, of a real equity committee as opposed to just a commissioner. Mm-hmm. And we had to do, like, training, and that's where I actually got to know the past commissioner and got to hear more about what they did, I guess. Yeah, but active role, yes, I would say it was the panel.
Okay. I understand from what you said that the EUS Equity used to just be the role of one commissioner. Now it's evolved into more of an organization. Could you explain that more a bit, if possible?
Well, beforehand, I think at some point in time, equity became important to McGill. So within each faculty or each faculty, there had to be some kind of representative for that. But over time, I think with influence from SMU, as well as just the needs, like, developing within the EUS with, like, women's issues and LGBTQ issues, they realized that there's also a need for a real committee, so that it's, because it's a lot of work, essentially, for one person to do. And that's how that started. I don't know if that answers that question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess going back to the EUS forum that was held. So equity and diversity is kind of like a pretty big, broad topic. Were there certain themes that were focused on during the panel talk?
Oh, okay. Well, the main speaker was actually a lady from who had worked at Ubisoft. Is that the name? Yeah, mm-hmm. Ubisoft. And essentially she was talking about women's issues in the software industry. So mainly computer programmers, and how they have felt, or women feel very isolated in that industry, and how she proposes to overcome those challenges. So I think it was initially geared towards women's issues, mm-hmm. But it also came down to, we also had other panelists, including a professor from civil engineering, who talked about women's issues in the academic industry, as well as the LGBTQ rep in SMU. I don't really know his position. So we talked about transgender and those issues as well. So all we kind of, like, tried to cover the main points there.
Okay, and speaking of the issues faced by engineers in the industry, how do those relate to students within the engineering department at McGill?
Well, I think mainly it's women feel very isolated in engineering, and it's not necessarily obvious initially.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain cultures that are just where it's just embedded, in fact, and no one really notices. There've been situations with there's certain jokes that we make or certain things that we say, and I'm sure that's apparent everywhere, but in such a male-dominated field or department, it's more obvious. And I think that's what we're trying to deal with. It's mainly people not being aware of how they might be isolating another group.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's actually the main problem in engineering. I don't think engineering men are more sexist or anything. We just, a lot of us, including the women, are just not aware of how our actions are the things we say can be construed as isolating.
Right, for sure. So what are some of the steps that are currently being made in order to fix those problems within the engineering department?
I would say, I know that the department is, like, from the administrative end, they are trying to have more female professors, for instance. And even within, like, XS, which is, like, the electrical, computer, and software engineering department, there are definitely female professors. Not a lot, but definitely female professors. Also, over the last few years, the percentage of women in engineering, I mean, female undergrads has increased. So they're heading in the right direction. But I think more of the work has been done by the social groups, so like the clubs within the EUS, like PAL, for instance, that like specifically goes to schools within the Montreal area to like encourage girls to join STEM fields, or queer engineer that, you know, helps gay, lesbians, transgender, all of those, and helps them, I guess, give them a forum to discuss any issues they might have, but also like just finding people who have the same experiences as you and being able to talk to them. And I think that's mainly how things are changing and how people are becoming more aware.
Mm-hmm.
It's the social groups.
Okay. So in terms of the forum, once again, I know like sometimes people bring up the problem that when you're holding forums like this, that's trying to like spread the word about equity and diversity within engineering, a selective audience might be sometimes a problem. While those who might really benefit from attending these forums might not always show up to these talks. So what would you think would fix that problem? Or do you think that really is a problem when having these forums?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a bit of a problem because, for instance, like the audience at the forum was mainly people interested in diversity in engineering, and not the people who may not be aware of it or the need for it. But what Equity has been doing so far is actually going to classes. So FAC 100 is a class that all engineers have to take, and it's Intro to Engineering. So they do a presentation on what the committee does, as well as, and basically highlight the need for diversity in engineering, which I think is a great way, because essentially all the incoming engineers are aware of the problem and the need to solve it from entry into McGill, which is super important. And that's like, I would say, one of the best ways to tackle it. So yeah, there's work being done there, because it's in fact very difficult to have a conversation about equity or diversity with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But there is work being done there, and I think Equity is going about it the right way.
That's wonderful to hear. So I guess now that we're approaching the end of the interview, what can students do themselves to promote equity or diversity or get involved and provide support for that issue within their departments?
Well, I think actions, I guess I'm a firm believer in actions speaking louder than words. And it's tiny things. We don't have to always, you know, do a presentation, or because you can't present to every single person. But in our actions, we should just correct for moments where someone's being inequitable or not looking for diversity. There are many times that people make comments that shouldn't be made, and it's just a matter of not necessarily like shutting them down or being aggressive, because that usually meets a negative reaction, but just pointing it out in a subtle way that makes them think, really, and is less attacking. I think that, and it's tricky, it's hard, but I think if we all focus on doing that, then the issue will kind of start to be solved, because a lot of the people that are already in the system, they're not going to take too well to being lectured. And if we do that with those people, and then those that are coming in are being educated about it, then I think eventually it will be solved.
Okay, all right. That sounds really good. So thank you so much for having this interview with me.
No problem. Thank you.
That was Adeola Adesanya talking about diversity and inclusivity in engineering. Now you'll be listening to Laura Herbert, who is the chapter lead of the McGill Students Chapter of Jack.org, who held their Bridge the Gap speaker series event on Monday the 19th. Bridge the Gap is a speaker series featuring speakers on a diverse array of mental health topics in order to increase mental health awareness and understanding. The most recent talk given was on anxiety disorders.
So could you just start off by maybe introducing yourself and explaining your role within the organization?
Okay. So my name's Laura, and I'm a fourth-year psychology student at McGill. I'm the chapter lead for Jack.org, so I basically am in charge of everything that they do at McGill, so I oversee all the different teams that work on different things and different activities and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. So could you talk about maybe Jack.org and the organization itself?
Yeah, for sure. So Jack.org is a nonprofit charity that's based out of Toronto. It started up about 5 years ago now. So we've been a chapter at McGill for 3 years. So I've been involved for about 3 years now. They run a bunch of different programs. We're part of a chapter program. So we're one of 75 chapters across Canada. They also do a talks program, which is very similar to what we do with our speaker series. And they also run a giant summit in Toronto early in the spring that brings together like 200 students to brainstorm and build leadership skills and basically brainstorm how we can change how we talk about mental health.
Mm-hmm. And what's the ultimate purpose or the goal of Jack.org?
Their mandate is basically just to open up conversations about mental health and decrease stigma. So they're basically just trying to change the way that people like think and talk about mental health. So it's not aimed at support or therapy or referring people to resources or anything like that, but it's aimed at like broader cultural change of how we think about mental health and mental illness.
Mm-hmm. So part of the series that you guys do is Bridge the Gap, the speaker series that's happening. Mm-hmm. So how long have they been running, and what sort of talks do you guys have for that?
I believe this is our third year now doing the speaker series. We've done a lot of different topics. We've done depression, eating disorders, anxiety is the one that's coming up this Monday. What else have we done? We did one on universal design, so like different types of learning and like how different learning styles can adapt to different like school situations and whatnot. We did one on post-traumatic stress disorder. That's all the ones I can think of off the top of my head right now.
Okay, and how do you sort of choose the topic that you'll be having during the speaker series?
It's basically just sort of based on what students come to us. We generally put out a call out for student speakers who are interested in sharing their story with a mental health problem or issue, or just like with mental health in general. They sort of come forward to us, and we sort of try to find like a prof or someone who works in a mental health field to speak on their experience or their research, and then match them up with a student speaker. So it's really mostly based on the students that come forward to us with the stories they want to share.
Mm-hmm. So the talk on Monday is about anxiety disorders, and so I guess you're saying that it was mostly based on just the speaker coming up to you and expressing their interest in speaking about the topic, or what made you focus on anxiety disorders?
Yeah, so basically we had put out a call out last year saying, like, hey, we're doing a speaker series. If there's any students who are interested in sharing their story, and we'd love to have you just email us. So the student who will be speaking on Monday came forward and said, yeah, this is my story. She has experience with depression and anxiety, I believe. So she came forward and said, hey, I want to share this. I want to talk about it. So we connected with our VP speakers, who basically recruits all of the speakers, went and found a researcher who does research on that general area. So he does research on sort of anxiety on a broader level. Mm-hmm. So we brought him in, and he'll speak about his research, and she'll share her story afterwards.
Okay. And yeah, I understand that you usually have a professional who's paired with a student speaker. So could you maybe explain more about the professional speaker that's talking about the anxiety disorders?
Yeah, so it's Dr. George Armoni. He's actually spoken at one of our talks before. He focuses mainly on post-traumatic stress disorder, but his research in general sort of looks at anxiety and different types of anxiety disorders.
Okay. And I guess because you guys clearly focus on mental health, how do you feel about McGill's current mental health facilities that are available to the students?
I think that obviously there's sort of a more need than there are services able to meet it, which is really hard for a lot of students. I think from what I know that mental health services and counseling services are working really hard to up their standards and meet the demand so they can help as many students as possible. There are some really great things going on with, especially with Peer Support Center and like Nightline, which are great services that I think are really important to help bridge that gap between the need and the services that are available. So I think it's really great that some of these extra student groups and services have popped up to sort of help meet the demand in the meantime for students who might be struggling and can't get help.
Mm-hmm. And how can more students get involved to create this awareness about mental health outside of just attending these talks, I guess?
I think it's really important. It sounds really silly, but just talk about it. Don't be afraid to ask a friend how they're doing. Be mindful in your day when you pass them in the hallway to ask how they're really doing and not just say, hey, how are you? Good. How are you? And don't be afraid to talk about your own issues. You know, I think one of the hardest things is that people don't know how to talk about it or don't know how to approach a friend when they think their friend might need help or if they need help. So I think on a broader level, it's just opening up the conversations and having more conversations about how you're really doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me. Are there any more events that are happening throughout the year that's being hosted by JAC.org or the chapter at McGill?
Well, during this week, we have a lot going on for Mental Health Awareness Week. On Friday, we're having the Peace of Mind Art Show. We're also doing de-stress exam tables in the library and in residences. So if people want to like stop by and check that out, we definitely have that going on. We have a ton of other outreach stuff planned for the rest of the year and more speaker series events and whatnot. So the best way to keep updated if you want to attend stuff like that is to like our Facebook page.
Okay. All right. That sounds amazing. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much for calling.
That was Laura Herbert, who is the chapter lead of the McGill Students Chapter of JAC.org. And that does it for this edition of Unfit to Print on CKUT 90.3 FM. And make sure to tune in from 2 weeks to check out our next episode. And in the meantime, check out our previous coverage and podcasts on mcgilldaily.com/podcast. The previous week was also a special double issue week, so make sure to pick up a print copy.
Unfit to Print. Unfit to Print.